Renegade Health Radio.
Renegade Health Radio. This is Kevin Gianni and Frederick Patnaud.
Hey, Kevin. Hi, everybody.
It's podcast. It's podcast time.
Good. Good. That's an obscure reference for listeners. I'm not sure they'll totally get that.
If you get that reference, post it on our blog, renegadehealth.com, on this particular podcast post. And if we see it there, we'll send you something special. How about that?
So they get a gift if they know what is the... Can you do it again?
Oh, man. This is going to hit the bloopers. It's podcast... Ooh, I did a key change. It's podcast time.
Yeah, I think you went in a minor key or something.
Yeah, I definitely went up in the key change. I don't know if I went a full note or what, but what's going on? What are we talking about today?
I kind of had an interesting topic, something I heard about recently, and maybe some of you guys have already heard about this, but you know, you live in pretty close to Silicon Valley, Kevin, so there's all these crazy startups, and it's always interesting to see, you know, what new startup is becoming hot right now. And there's this new company called Soylent. There's this guy, this young guy, Rob Reinhart, and he was obsessed with this idea of having a food that is made by science, essentially. So a powder that takes care of all of your needs so you don't have to worry about food. And he sees it in a very kind of futuristic kind of way. You know, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie The Matrix. Hopefully you have, but not too many times. In the movie, you remember, Kevin, there's like this part where, you know, Keanu Reeves is like fed for the first time whatever they eat outside of the Matrix. And then the black guy is like, it's this complete mixture of amino acids and it's, you know, it takes care of all your nutritional needs. And I'm thinking at the time, you know, there's, you know, yes, amino acids, but there's a lot more, you know, than amino acids for proper nutrition. Anyway, these meal replacement things have been popular for a while, but the difference with Soylent is, which doesn't contain any soy, which is kind of weird, but...
That's weird.
Yeah.
So did it start with soy, maybe?
I don't know. That's strange. It's a weird kind of scientific name almost, but... These products have been marketed mostly in the weight loss department. So this is kind of the first time somebody is coming up with the idea of selling a product to young, busy guys so that they can save time and not have to worry about eating and having a sort of a long-term view where they could export this product to, let's say, countries that have famines and so on, and it would solve the entire problem and almost seize it. In one of the videos that I saw, like, he almost sees it in a very utopian way where, you know, you get your running water and then you get your running Soylent, you know, so you can take care of your body's food needs at any time because society is providing it for you or something. But anyhow, it's a powder that you mix it with water. Of course, haven't tasted it, but from the videos and so on, it doesn't look like it's super tasty, but like apparently taste is the last of their concerns, but I'm sure it tastes decent enough to those of us who've tried all kinds of plant protein powders. So it's made with rice protein and you know, fats and maltodextrin and all kinds of stuff that essentially takes care of all of your basic nutritional needs or all of your known nutritional needs, at least. So the guy, Rob, the CEO of this company, and it's really a startup. I need to emphasize that. So they...
Yeah, so it has... The idea has not taken off yet, ladies and gentlemen.
They've raised $2 million on one of those Kickstarter campaigns out of a goal of only $100,000. So it was pretty popular for one of those campaigns. And I think you're going to hear about this. I think it's going to be successful. That's my gut feeling because it's kind of fulfilling a niche that really no one else has tapped in this sort of marketing kind of way. And hopefully they'll make the product taste better and so on. apparently is vegan, except for some fish oil or something that's being used in some of their formulations. So it's a startup, and the guy, Rob Reinhardt, lived on it for 30 days or 3 months just to prove a point. So other journalists have done the same, and, you know, of course, you can live on this stuff, right? But it kind of prompted me to think about, my reaction was like, hey, we already have something like that. And it's called a green smoothie, right? You own a Vitamix, you make really a smoothie. Easy. But since I've been thinking about this lately, I'm not so sure, because I've been making a lot of green smoothies, and it is a lot of work in the sense that you have to shop, right, for the food, and then you have to cut it, and then you have to discard all the peels. And it's, you know, it takes a certain level of preparation, right? Not the same as preparing a gourmet meal, but it takes some time. So this is something like for people who really don't want to spend any time for some of their meals, at least, if not many and many meals. I can imagine a lot of guys working in Silicon Valley, you know, trying to crank 100 hours a week, just living on this stuff because it's easy, and it's probably a lot healthier than living on, you know, pizza and so on.
Yeah, pizza, caffeine, beer, you know, all these other things that maybe that young professional, you know, dude is actually eating. I mean, I think one of the biggest questions is here, you know, kind of in the renegade health world of diet and eating and figuring out what works for you. You know, the biggest question for me is in the biggest theory or kind of principle that I work on is that, yeah, you can eat whatever you want, but, you know, does it actually stand up to the sniff test? You know, can you actually prove that what you're eating using science is actually going to be healthy for you? So for instance, look, you can eat the vegan diet, and if you're healthy and your blood tests, and that's the kind of like the marker that at least I like to use. And if your blood tests are cool and you know, all your iron is great and your cholesterol is great and your folate, well, your folate would be great if you're eating a vegan diet, because that comes from a lot from leafy greens. And all your markers were fantastic, your hormones are fantastic, then you know what? You continue on the vegan diet until it starts to show that things aren't working for you. And, you know, I feel the same way with a paleo diet, or I feel the same way with a raw food diet. And, you know, Fred and I talk about raw food diets and, you know, sometimes we might talk negatively about them long-term because we've had our own experiences. But in the short term or in medium term, maybe they're actually really beneficial for some people. But how do you know? Well, you use your blood test. So I would want to know, you know, I would want to talk to Rob, and maybe we can get Rob on the podcast one day. But, you know, I'd like to talk to Rob and say, all right, Rob, you know, you did this for 3 months. Anyone can do any diet for 3 months besides the breatharian diet and maybe not a water fast and come out okay. And so for me, that's not enough evidence for me to say, all right, you know, let's go Soylent for a year and see what happens, because I would want to know what's going on, you know, with someone's blood for a longer period of time. And granted, you know, this stuff will probably come out in the market and it will probably be used and by enough people to actually have some sort of sample data. And then, you know, then we look at it and then we say, all right, well, maybe as a guy who doesn't like to go prepare food that much and would rather just have it put in front of me and drink it no matter what it tastes like, that sounds somewhat reasonable. How about that?
Exactly. It'd be cool to get Rob, because he seemed like a very Cartesian kind of totally outside of the hippie movement kind of guy, you know? Okay. Just very thinking in terms of science fiction, almost like, yeah, we can create a food from science and it's going to be better than a food from nature if we know enough about it, because other things that we create are obviously better. I mean, modes of transportation, communication, and so on, than what we'd get in nature. So he has a very kind of utopian, you know, kind of a mindset and way of looking at things.
But then we start to argue, you know, doesn't nature know best for us anyway? You know, then it gets into this, you know, what's better? Is science better or nature better? I mean, a lot of people think that, you know, a lot of people in the science world think that altering, you know, the genes of plants and animals to make these kind of Frankenstein foods you know, Frankenfoods, as some people call them, you know, GMO is better than what nature has provided already. And I tend to agree that nature does provide what we need. And we just need to get back to our own true nature to be able to determine what's good for us, and maybe not use science in terms of a fully formed food based on our assumptions of what's working, when we might not even understand our physiology as completely as we think we do.
So, Kevin, what's your Soylent preparation like if you were to put together a liquid drink, right, with not too complicated, what would it contain? Like what is the one food that you'd say, you know, you could live on this for quite a while?
Yeah, I mean, so definitely would have some sort of omega-3, whether it's plant-based or fish oil. So for DHA and EPA. So that's definitely something that would need to be in there, because that's something that everyone, you know, not everyone, but a lot of people are deficient in. And, you know, there's a lot of data from our omega-3 tests, the OmegaQuant test, that shows that people are deficient. Even myself, I was deficient, and I thought I was getting enough omega-3s. And ironically, Fred was not deficient and wasn't really actively taking any omega-3s, right? So, I mean, it's just kind of a weird, you know, that probably goes back to genetics. So for me, then another, maybe an amino acid-based source of protein. So again, this could be plant, or this could be animal-based protein, but definitely some sort of amino acid-based, complete amino acid profile. A lot of the proteins out there, the plant-based proteins, are coming up with a pretty good amino acid profile. So these are, you know, they're coming up with, by blending pea and rice and a few other ones, they're coming up pretty good. Just make sure you listen to one of our past podcasts about heavy metal contamination in rice protein. Not all rice proteins have heavy metal contamination, but some do. So you want to check that out. You can also check out labs.naturalnews.com. And then definitely, you know, a whole spectrum of micronutrients. So absorbable minerals, you know, plant powders that actually have some of the micronutrients already in them, antioxidants, all that sorts of stuff. I mean, I haven't really fully thought about this, but I'm sure there's some more.
What's your energy source?
Well, that's calories, true, right? We need your calories. So where does the sugar, you know, does it come from sugar? Does it come from, you know, some sort of grain powder or fat? You know, it's really interesting. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many calories? So if you drink 3 Soylent shakes, do you know how many calories you'd get?
I must say the information is pretty scarce on what's actually in this stuff, because, you know, it's not out yet, right? So yeah, people have committed to buying it, but not many people have it. So I've looked up the ingredients. Right. It looks like, I would imagine that it covers your basic 2000 calorie a day needs. So maybe I would say 500 calories per shake. From what I saw, you know, it's a combination of sugars and fats for calories. Essentially, there's like some olive oil or something like that that they used. You know, I don't know exactly how it all works
you're,
out.
You're not but, making it that much more appealing.
I don't know. That was the original formula. I'm not sure exactly what's in it. But obviously, I mean, the problem you come in, you know, the problem with making those foods is getting enough calories. And I mean, I know everybody saw like old movies where they come up with this idea of like, in the future, you're going to take a pill and it's going to cover all your nutritional needs. But there's just no way. A pill can contain not only all the micronutrients, but all the calories you need. I mean, the most concentrated form of energy for a human being is oil. And that's what, well, it's 150 or 120 per tablespoon. So, I mean, you need like...
Oh, per gram? Per gram of oil, it's nine calories.
Yes. But so you need like 12, 15 tablespoons of olive oil to meet your basic needs for energy for most people, right? So think about it, you know? So food, I mean, we need to eat food. We need to eat a certain amount of food for energy. And anybody who's tried to live on a raw food or diet or just, you know, smoothies, you realize, I mean, it takes a lot of produce, right, to get you through the day. You know, that like smoothie with a few fruits and some kale or whatever is pretty far in your stomach by the time you reach lunch, right? So it's just a question of calories. So I think it's the problem with those, with finding a food like that, is that how are you going to concentrate it enough without using like a huge amount of fat, you know, and simple sugars, right? Because that's probably what they're using, simple sugars. So it's a backup solution. And you know what? Pretty much anything is better than the standard American diet. So I wouldn't be surprised if people did actually do pretty well on this compared to standard American diet.
That's true. Very true. What I think was really valuable, though, that you brought up earlier is the fact that if this is like a time-saving thing, I mean, yeah, green smoothie isn't as time-saving, but man, is a green smoothie a time saver. And liquid nutrition, I think, is really where it's at in terms of getting as much nutrition as you can in a shorter period of time. And so, for instance, like, I'll tell you, my green smoothie is pretty much the same every day. So, you know, you guys are going to look at me and be like, oh, wow, don't you get bored with that? Well, no, not really. I just make it and I just do it. But my green smoothie every morning is either romaine lettuce or spinach. I put like a whole head of romaine lettuce, so a nice big old head of romaine lettuce. Sometimes I'll switch up. Sometimes I'll get red leaf lettuce, or, you know, sometimes I'll get green lettuce, whatever's in the grocery store, whatever's on special and organic, or at the farmer's market. And so I pop it in there, and then I take two scoops of a protein, a pea-based protein. I use the Sun Warrior protein, the Warrior blend. And then I put, you know, about half a bag or to a full bag, depending on the sweetness of the fruit, maybe a bag and a half. And I'll pick between, you know, and usually I'll either use frozen or fresh fruit, all organic. And then I blend that up and then I drink, you know, 32 to 40 ounces of that just in a couple minutes. And then it's done. If I was to sit down and eat all that lettuce and all that fruit, because I've done it before, and Fred, you have too. If I was to sit down and eat that and chew it and Fletcherize it, you know, like, you know, this like 30, 40 chews per bite, it would take 45, 50 minutes to get that all down. And to have it down in 3 minutes, and then I'm off to brush my teeth and floss them, and like we mentioned last podcast, brush my teeth, floss them, and then head off to work, I am golden. And then even with juices, you know, we do a smoothie every morning. And then with juices, we actually have our nanny. We've taught her how to make this green juice that has romaine and it has celery and it has cucumber and it has fennel. It has a little bit of apple and a little bit of parsley and kale. And so we kind of just rotate through some of these ingredients. Again, you know, to think about how much produce is in that juice container. And again, remember, drinking juices on top of eating fresh fruits and vegetables. I hope we all understand that. But to think about the amount of nutrition that's in that 32 to 48 ounce juice is pretty intense. And man, you just drink it down. I can come home from work and the juice is in the fridge and I drink down the whole thing. And that's 32 ounces of green juice of plant nutrition right there available at my fingertips. I mean, it's so easy and it's such an easy way. Obviously it's easier when someone makes it for you, but it's so easy to get that into your body and not have to think about it anymore and just know that you have your bases covered.
And the smoothie you mentioned is, I mean, that's a serious smoothie, right? I mean, in terms of like an entire head of lettuce and you told me about the lettuce, cause I was more like using, you know, like spinach and so on. And so you told me, hey, I put an entire head of lettuce in my green smoothie. So I started doing it recently and I put different fruits like you. Lately I've been using mangoes. I've been using sometimes I use bananas or I love like ripe pears and so on and fresh strawberries. Anyway, I throw the water or almond milk sometimes, protein powder sometimes or sometimes not. But then when you blend in a Vitamix, when you blend that entire head of lettuce, I mean, it is obliterated in so little time. I look at it, I'm like, what? It's already gone and processed and everything. And, you know, by the time I pour it in a mason jar, I mean, that's pretty concentrated, right? And like you said, like sitting down to an entire head of romaine lettuce, and I can drink like two of those, like, in the day, right? So you're getting your greens. I mean, you're definitely getting your 4 to 5, you know, vegetables a day.
Yeah, and get this, all you parents or grandparents out there. So today what I did was I made my smoothie and I had the juice in the fridge. I didn't feel like drinking the juice in the morning. So instead of using water, I just poured the juice in the smoothie, blended it up. Hudson loves smoothies. He calls them booties, which is kind of funny. But he loves these smoothies. And so I gave him about 10 ounces of smoothie made out of lettuce, all this fruit, a little bit of grape protein powder, and full on green juice. And he loved it.
Kids love it. Everybody loves green smoothies. I mean, not everybody, but you can get used to the idea, right? Much better than Soylent, I think.
I know.
I mean, it is a time saving tool, you know. I mean, not only do you save time by eating all this stuff in a concentrated form, but also I think it gives you more energy because your body is not using up that energy, digesting and so on. So I think it's a great tool during the day. You know, at some point, I think most people later in the day want to sit down to an actual meal where they have to chew and maybe feel a little drowsy at the end. But you know, during the day, I mean, it's an incredible productivity, just energizing tool.
You know what else is interesting too? You know, it's a great travel thing too, because airports are now starting to have Jamba Juices in them. So you know, there's a few airports that I know of that have these Jamba Juices. One is the Las Vegas airport, I believe, in the Seagate, and then Denver airport, I believe, also in the Seagate. And so, like, if you can kind of, and again, Jamba Juice isn't organic, but what Jamba Juice has started to do is they actually have like more of the green smoothie type thing. They used to be, you'd go to Jamba Juice and you'd have to navigate the menu and you'd have to be like, all right, well, I want this berry smoothie, but I don't want you to put yogurt in it. I want you to put either water, or if they didn't like, oh no, we don't put water in there, well, can you put orange juice in there or something instead of, you know, using the yogurt or the milk or anything like that. But now Jamba Juice has gotten a little bit of hip to this, and now they're actually doing green smoothies. So, you know, it's actually a good travel tool to like think about, you know, if you're going to be in a connecting flight or you're going to be at an airport, to think about, you know, where you're going to be at and can you find a Jamba Juice that'll make you a smoothie. I wouldn't get it at any other smoothie place because a lot of these are like these machines that just like, it's almost just like, you know, switch out the margarita mix with, you know, who knows what and, you know, all the sugary syrup stuff. So, but Jamba Juice is again, it's not tier one option. Obviously tier one option would be, you know, at your house or at the health food shop that, you know, makes this stuff. And even Whole Foods can make some good smoothies now. Some of the places around the country will make smoothies for you. But it's another travel tool that I use. So you know, when I was flying down to Orlando, I had a stopover in Las Vegas, and I was walking through to the Seagate, and I just knew that Jamba Juice would be right there. And I didn't know that they now had moved into this like green smoothie type model. And I was so thrilled because I didn't want to have to go to the girl and just be like, okay, so I'm crazy health guy. Here are all the things that I want in my smoothie. I'm going to make you inconvenience, but it's what I want. And let's deal with it kind of conversation, which usually happens. You guys have had it before. And it just went, I was like, oh, that one works. And it was perfect. So
that's good when you can find it. Otherwise, I mean, I don't know about you, but I often buy the super expensive cups of fruit and whole bananas. And people, it's funny because a lot of people into health foods, they're like, there's nothing to eat in an airport. So a banana is $1. Well, think about it. Like, you can buy a few pieces of fruit for a lot less than pretty much anything else that's being sold as a meal in an airport. So you're coming ahead, you know. I mean, it's obviously overpriced because you're in an airport, but everything is overpriced. So I kind of, you know, if you just shift your thinking and you realize, you know, I can allow a $15 budget to buy a bunch of fruits and a salad or something like that while I'm traveling, and I'm coming ahead because, you know, I'll be healthier, everything will be easier. And it's not a lot of money if you think about it, compared to sitting down to a restaurant and ordering like a burger and fries, right?
Yeah. And fruit is so good for traveling, particularly high antioxidant fruits, but also just high water content fruits, because, you know, you're going on a plane, you're going up to 35, 36, 37,000 feet. You're in this space that's extremely dehydrating. And if you can eat some high water fruits, high water content fruits, we usually bring some oranges or some tangerines or things like that, even apples. Bananas are great. They're not the best in terms of, like, you know, your travel.
No, they don't
travel induced constipation, you know? But as you know, cause usually what happens, a lot of people who travel, they'll get constipated. And so if you can eat some high water rich, you know, vegetables or not vegetables, well, if you bring vegetables too, you can bring celery and some other things if you want. But fruits, you know, when you get down and land and you get to the hotel, you know, you have a higher chance of not having to deal with the travel type constipation.
And on that note, I think our show is over.
Adios.
RenegadeHealth.com. Check out the old podcasts as well and our wealth of content. So thank you so much. And please leave a review on iTunes.
Bye.
Renegade Health Radio.